Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. We are really glad to have you with us for the next half hour or so as we go through some baseball talk, talk about the Major League Baseball postseason coming up in just under a week. But before we get to that, we have to talk about the end of the regular season, as there's just a few days left in the 2020 MLB regular season, and there are still plenty of playoff positions that are yet to be decided. It's going to be a very exciting final few days of the 2020 baseball season. And here with me to talk about it is my co-host Trey Lyle. And if you think that his audio quality sounds a little bit better this week, it's because Trey is back in Virginia. And this is our first in-person podcast in, what, over a year?
Over a year. I think since we graduated college, which is crazy to think. Yeah, beautiful day here in Richmond down in, I believe, the Museum District.
The Museum District, that's where we are.
So, obviously, growing up in the area, Matt's the new one. Now we switch. Matt's the new one in the area, so being able to see him. Shout out to Carytown Burgers and Fries. Had a pre-game meal before game time today. Great lunch. It was cool to be back home. Very eventful trip home this past weekend.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit about that trip home.
So, my mom flew out Thursday to help me move. Shout out to Vicky Lyle. And so basically what happened is we leave Saturday morning, 6 a.m., and we get on the road. We drive all day and end at 10:30 in Charleston, West Virginia, and we're like, all right, 5 hours left. Get up early on Sunday. We start going, and if you've ever done a long drive, you drive. Your goal is to kind of find a rhythm, like with anything that you have to do a while. Like if you're a runner, you want to find your rhythm. And I was about to find my rhythm, and we get to a toll booth, and all of a sudden the car shuts off. And I look at my mom, I'm like, Mom, the car's off. And I try to start it again, it doesn't go. Luckily, my mother has got AAA, which she got the Friday before we left somehow. And the guy comes and is like, your alternator needs to be replaced.
Oof.
So we try to find a place that's open on Sunday. Obviously, it's Sunday, so nothing was open. We park it in the middle of a Firestone parking lot in Charleston, West Virginia, and we stay an extra day in Charleston and get home yesterday afternoon. So an eventful trip, but glad to be home. Grateful for everything that Kansas taught me, the people, my employer, Kansasland Radio, in Kansas, so grateful for that. But glad to see Matt's face here in person as we are socially distant as we do this conversation on his front porch on a beautiful, beautiful day here in Richmond.
It really is. Like I was telling you earlier, it's that time of year where, like, if we were in Blacksburg right now, we'd be waking up for 8 a.m., putting on a sweatshirt, going to class, and then we'd get out of class, walk across the drill field at noon, and we'd be sweating our asses off walking across the campus
also
to go to Owens.
Might get knocked down because of the wind at the drill field.
Yeah, that's true. You never know about that
wind.
I did,
though. How many 8 a.m.s did you have in college? I had one.
You know, I think I had one. Yeah, one 8 a.m. Yeah. It was Robin Reed's.
Yeah, we had the same
management.
One. We sat next to each other, and we hated it every morning. We love Robin Reed, though. He was a great professor. Shout out to Robin Reed.
It's just the material. He couldn't help it. It was just the material of the class wasn't the most
also
interesting.
Also, it was at 8 a.m.
I had other classes with him, and they were very good. He's a great professor.
They were also – I just didn't like it being at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And I went. I shockingly went to every – I mean
– You didn't go to every class.
I didn't go to every class. Neither did you.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't.
No one did.
I'm pretty sure the class after – we had that class the day after Halloween. Nobody went.
I will say, though, me and you were part of the group that went to a majority of the class.
Yes,
a
majority.
I think I missed two, maybe two or three. And for – if you know me in college, that's like a record. but
anyway, we're getting off topic here.
If that class – and just one more thing. If that class was not at the Johnson Student Center where I could buy a giant cup of coffee before every class, I don't know if I would have made it. So I remember –
That's true.
But it's just good, you know, we're reminiscing as we are in person as it's been that. Think about that. That was our last last fall semester, and that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
Time has flown by, and if someone told me 2 years from now I'd live in Kansas, and then that whatever 2020 was, I might have slapped them because they were that crazy.
Yeah. Well, you're back here in Richmond now, and it feels good to be doing the podcast in person. And we do have a lot to talk about today because, like I said at the open, we are just a few days away from the 2020 MLB regular season coming to a conclusion. This Sunday, the 27th, is the final day of the MLB season. And in that time, there are still a lot of playoff spots that have to be decided. The 2 and 3 seeds in the National League are yet to be decided. And then the 5 through 8 seeds have not been decided yet. Only the National League West, or only the first seed, and then the Padres, the second team in the West. Those are the only two teams that have clinched spots in the National League so far. So that's crazy to me that there are that many spots still up for grabs in the NL.
Yeah, absolutely. So breaking down the National League, I think we'll know who the one seed is. It's obviously either going to be the Dodgers or the Padres, but the Dodgers with a 4-game lead, well on their way to winning another National League West. I think they secure themselves as the one seed, and if they can finish with above .700 winning percentage, that's going to be pretty impressive for this season. The 2 seed right now is they're tied between the Cubs and the Braves, who I think will both win their division or are well on their way to winning their division. It's still mathematically, I think the Braves' magic number is down to 1. Actually, as we sit. So the Braves could clinch by the time
this episode airs.
By the time we put it up. So Cubs and Braves battling for that 2-3, and I think that's basically just they'll play each other in the next round, it kind of looks like, as it sets up. So it's determined who hits last in the bubble, in the MLB bubble, in that NLDS matchup. 4 seed, obviously, will be the Padres. Then we have the 5 will be currently the Miami Marlins, and we're going to talk about them in particular in a matter of moments. 6 right now are the St. Louis Cardinals, and then the 7 seed is a really good getting their groove, especially from a pitching staff, the Cincinnati Reds, the Phillies at the 8 seed. But a half game back of that last spot is both Milwaukee and San Francisco. So a lot of action. St. Louis can fall, is not clinched. So basically, I think the top 4 teams will make the postseason, even though the Cubs and the Braves technically have not clinched a spot yet. But from 5 to 8, there are 6 teams battling for 4 spots. So it should be pretty interesting. So, Matt, as you look at that, what pops out to you as maybe a surprise or a team that is flying under the radar that maybe could surprise some people? Because this postseason, I mean, the first round is only 3 games, so anything can happen.
You know, those 2 teams that are right outside of the 8 seed right now, the Brewers and the Giants, they've been kind of hovering there for the past month or so. The Giants were actually in the postseason, you know, the top 8
last
seeds.
Last week.
Yeah, just last week. So I would not be surprised if the Giants ended up finding a way to overtake, you know, the Phillies or the Reds as that last wild card team and end up making the postseason. The Reds, I think they're going to have to fight to hold on to that spot because they have been hovering below the top 8 seeds all season long. They finally found a way to get in there. I don't know how long they'll be able to hold on to it. They play the Brewers this week, so it'll be interesting to see if the Reds can hang on to that 7th spot in the wild card spot in the National League standings. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Brewers or the Giants just make a quick run here. You know, they're just a game back of the Phillies and just take over one of those last spots.
If you're one of those teams, you probably want the 7th seed because the way the Dodgers are, you want that 7th seed, which is very plausible. I mean, it's 2 games between the Cardinals and the Reds for that last 2nd spot in the Central, but it's only a half game between, or it's a game between the Brewers, or it's a game between the Brewers and the Reds. So it should be interesting. I will say this. If I'm one of those top 3 teams, or I guess the top 2 teams will play the wild card teams, I do not want to play the Milwaukee Brewers because of Christian Yelich. Because it's a 3-game series, so it's best 2 out of 3, Christian Yelich can get you 1 single-handedly at the plate.
He can, yeah.
He can get you 1. He probably could, probably will get you. And then, so let's think about this. So Yelich wins one of those games, obviously, and let's say it's the Cubs. The Cubs win the other game. It's 1 game. Anything can happen.
But how about, you know, another team that you don't want to face in that first round, the Cincinnati Reds.
I agree with
best
pitching.
Best 2 out of 3 with the pitching. And they have Trevor Bauer, Luis Castillo, Sonny Gray. I mean, those three guys, you don't want to face those. You don't want to face that rotation in the first round in a best two out of three series.
And as it's proven in the past season, pitching is the key in the postseason. And I've said all season, pitching has been the key. I mean, you look at the teams that are doing really well, it's because they have versatile pitching staffs. So, I mean, example A is the Tampa Bay Rays. They might have the most versatile pitching staff and use it in that way, whereas they might use a starter one game. They have Charlie Morton, who is an ace. I mean, the White Sox have had great pitching, as we'll get into the American League in a minute. And it's just two examples that pop off my head. But, I mean, the Dodgers have Walker Buehler. The Cubs have Yu Darvish. The Braves have seemed to piece together good starting pitching despite injuries. The Padres, they added Mike Clevenger. They've shown their abilities. The Marlins have been, I think the Marlins are the surprise, and as we get into them, this team's at 28-26. It's the Miami Marlins were the last stock of baseball the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And we said there could be a surprise team. I mean, what a job the Miami Marlins have done to make the postseason. Because if someone said to me, like, pick a team in the National League you would bet your life that making the postseason coming in the year, I'd probably pick the Marlins. And you think about all the talent they traded away over the last couple of years. To be at 28-26 and right, probably going to make the postseason. What a job. And it shows in this 60-game season, anything can happen. Because if this was a full season, I just don't think it would have happened. So,
no, I don't think so either.
Yeah, the Marlins just making in there. And obviously, they were the talk of baseball at the beginning of the year because of their outbreak. And
I mean, look.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, look how far we've come in this season where the first week of the regular season, the Marlins have a massive coronavirus outbreak within their team. And everyone's saying, well, that's it. The season's going to get shut down. We're done. You know, this isn't going to work. And now we're 5 days away from the end of the regular season, and the Marlins are the 5 seed in the National League. That's amazing how far we've come this season. The ups and downs, the roller coaster that this 2020 baseball season has been, to think that the Marlins almost shut down the entire season, and now they're 5 games away from making the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hats off to them. I think it was weird people like being against Derek Jeter. And it was because of the way he kind of managed the beginning of that. And he's like, we're cleaning house. We're restarting. And granted, they have a lot of good prospects there to be 28-26 and the 5 seed. So, unfortunately, you're going to play. They're, not even the wild card team. They're going to finish second in the East. And you're going to play the Padres in the first round. I don't think they'll get it done, but I think it's a good story.
Yeah, definitely a good story.
Moving to the American League now as we rake down the postseason. Number one team, Tampa Bay, who's probably, I would say, consistently been the best team in the American League. The White Sox at 2 is the leaders in the Central. They've clinched a playoff spot. The only team in baseball with 1 weekend left in the season is the Oakland A's, who have clinched their division. They're the only team that has clinched their division title. How about that?
Yeah, and who said that they were going to win the AL West?
You did, Matt, and I want to get your heads off. You're about to go 2 for 3 in our division picks in the AL. We both picked the Yankees.
Yeah, neither of us are getting that.
So we will, and which I think beginning of the year, to have another season like they did last year with all the injuries. Yeah.
I mean, everyone thought the Yankees were going to win the East.
But we both,
I will say,
give us both credit. We said Tampa Bay could win that division.
Yeah.
We didn't think it was a runaway for the Yankees. Moving to the Twins, who sit at the 4th seed at 33-22. They might be praying to the baseball gods, to heaven, to anyone that don't face the 5 seed right now, the New York Yankees. And granted, the Yankees have lost, are playing Toronto right now, and they have a 3.5-game lead on them. I hope, part of me, even if I'm a Yankees fan, just to see it, I hope the Twins can get it done. Part of me kind of wants to see the Twins get it done, even though I'm a Yankees fan and know they won't, and I feel pretty confident in saying that. But if you're a Twins fan, shout out to Evan Hughes, who is a Twins fan, you're like, really? We got to play the Yankees in the first round again? As it sits. So that's the 4-5. 6 is the Houston Astros, hanging around 500, who are playing a little bit better baseball. Unfortunately, America's team, the Seattle Mariners, don't look like their late season push will make it.
America's team? Since when?
Since they found out they could knock out the Astros in the postseason.
Oh, okay.
The Indians sit at 7. The Indians with 30 wins are the wild card team. And then Toronto, another surprise team that has, you could argue, maybe the best young core in baseball at 28-26. Holy cow. I think, and we've talked about this in past podcasts and off-air, the American League is wide open. I could see at least the top 7 teams making a run to the World Series.
Yeah. I mean, looking at it, I don't see a team in there that I don't think is built. I mean, there's no team in there that is not built to make a World Series run. I don't know if the Astros could do it this year.
Without Verlander, no. But I will give them credit because even without the scandals, they've won a World Series and they were there last year. So, and they have the lineup to do it.
They definitely have the lineup. It's the pitching that I'm worried about.
Cleveland has the pitching. And Cleveland has, Cleveland, the 7 seed is a scary 7 seed. I would not be shocked that the White Sox get upset by the Cleveland Indians in that 2-7 matchup. If that's the match, I think the matchups are pretty much set in the AL at this point. I think the last spot to decide is if the Yankees basically lose out and they switch with Toronto as the 5-8 game or 5-8 seeds in general. But in my opinion, it's a 4-team race in the National League between the Dodgers, Cubs, Braves, and Padres. In the American League, I could see the top 7 teams making a run, and I think it's way more wide open than it has been, which makes it fun. And I think with the bubble, if you look at the NBA, it's proven that without home field, anything can happen. And players you might not expect to play better, especially if they're not good on the road in high-pressure moments, well, that's out. That's out of the way.
Yeah.
So you look at it, you look at a team like Chicago, who has no big game experience whatsoever. In a bubble, when there's no fans, you're just playing baseball.
Yeah.
So, and they have the talent to do so.
Yeah, and they've done it all season long without fans at the ballpark. I'm really high on this Chicago White Sox team. I think the lineup is just so good, and then the rotation, they have Dallas Keuchel and Lucas Giolito that anchor the rotation. I think you get them into a postseason series, I think they can really make a run. And, you know, I mean, I at the beginning of the season, I said I picked them to win the American League Central, and they're going to deliver on that. I think that they can make a run in the playoffs this year. They're going to be very entertaining to watch in each playoff series, but I think they have the skill and the talent to get it done.
I still say 1 year away. For me, when it comes to the postseason, I need to see it. So let me watch their, you know, like I know what I'm going to get from the Yankees in the postseason. I know what I'm going to get from the Astros. I think I know what I'm going to get from Tampa Bay. Like, I can't pick the Twins to advance because I haven't seen it. I've seen countless occasions of them falling short, and I haven't seen it. And that's why I'm like, I wish they wouldn't play a team other than the Yankees, because the Twins are built just like the Yankees in terms of their lineup, and the Yankees will always have the better pitching staff. And so what happens is, the Yankees know how to shut down the Twins, and the Twins don't know how to shut down the Yankees. It's just a bad matchup for that team. I think if the Twins played, like, if somehow Toronto gets that 4-5, if I'm Tampa, I'm like, no, I don't know. But let's say that happens. I could see the Twins going 2 rounds, multiple rounds. Because here's the thing. They would play the Yankees after winning a postseason round. And I think that gives them confidence, because they've just not gotten over the hump of winning that first round.
Yeah.
And I think if they did, they could make a lot of noise.
What do you do? So what do you think the Twins are thinking right now? Do you think they're, you know, looking at the standings and thinking, oh, man, if the season ended right now, we would play the Yankees? So do you think, I mean, what do? Do you try to go on a run at the final week of the season and overtake the White Sox, win the division? Or do you try to lose a couple games here and fall down to the 6 or 7 seed?
If I'm the Twins, I want to win the division. Because you'll be the 2. You don't play the – your matchups would be Cleveland, and then it would be the 3 – and then Oakland. Or if that seed holds. So you'd face the winner of that Houston-Oakland series. And the way Oakland's owned Houston this year, that should happen. So if I'm the Twins, you're – I mean, it's one – I think one game. It is 1.5 games. And do they play each other this weekend? That would actually be huge. So the Twins play, as this loads on MLB.com, so they play the Tigers and the Reds. So you get a series against the Tigers, which is very beneficial. While the White Sox
– White Sox today are playing the Indians.
Play the Indians, so a good team, and then I would assume –
And then coming up this weekend, the White Sox play the Cubs.
So you play two of the better teams. Just because of matchups, the Twins have a real shot of winning this division.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you might not be right.
I might not be. There is still time left, but
I'm going to give you a lot of credit, though. Like, I saw the White Sox, I think, as a wild card team. And so, but that's going to come down to the wire.
I mean, it's just when you have the players that they have, it had to happen eventually that they would have some success. With Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
And then bringing in Yasmani Grandal, and Yoán Moncada is starting to be a good player. Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert could be Rookie of the Year. It had to happen eventually that they would have some success, and it's finally happening. I hope they do make a run in the postseason, but all of these teams are exciting. All of them are going to be fun to watch. I could see any of them making a run except for maybe the Blue Jays. I don't feel great about the Astros. Any of those other six teams, I could see them making a run. The A's are fun to watch. The Rays are obviously great. It's great when you have teams like the A's and the Rays who are typically not – I mean, the A's have a storied history because they've been around so long, but those teams – are kind of small market, low payroll teams, and they found ways to be really good and win.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's fun to see them succeed, and it'd be cool to see either of them go on a run in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last couple weeks I picked Tampa Bay to make the World Series, and I replaced them with the Yankees. I'm starting to go back on the Yankees the way they looked in their 10-game winning streak. They seemed to find their groove. I'm going to lean – I mean, as a fan, I want the Yankees to win the World Series. Like, I miss the winning. They haven't won a title in so long. But I think this is – because of the bubble, this could be the most entertaining World Series or postseason we get. And especially in this American League. My gut is telling me it's way more wide open than the National League. It's just because I think in the National League, we've not seen consistency out of – we've seen consistency out of four teams. In the American League, I don't think we've seen a lot of consistency. We've also seen like teams look really, really good and really, really bad. So that it kind of is like for example, the Yankees look really, really good and really, really bad. So if they look really good, they're the favorites. Like, bar none, if the Yankees are at full strength and playing how they're supposed to be, you can't argue they're the favorites. Just look at their lineup.
All right, so I want to ask you this. If you look at the top 8 seeds in each league, and if those end up being the final playoff standings, what's your dream World Series matchup?
So if you told me if we had fans, Yankees-Dodgers, but just because as a kid I grew up here in Richmond, obviously the minor league team was the Richmond Braves. Grew up a Yankees fan. Minor league team here in Richmond a long, long time ago. Richmond Virginians was an affiliate with the Yankees. So give me an all-Richmond World Series, sort of. Yankees Braves.
All right.
And also right. Because this podcast would be really good for 2 weeks as our teams battle.
That would be fun. That would be very fun.
I think it would be fun. I will say, if I didn't pick the Yankees, so if I got rid of the Yankees, I'm going to say White Sox Padres because I agree with you. Outside of your favorite team, those two teams are fun to watch. I think Tim Anderson, like Trout obviously should be the face of baseball, but Tim Anderson should get some love. Dude is fun and loves, like he's like Bryce Harper. Like Bryce Harper, while I root for Bryce Harper, he wants to make the game fun. He wants to do like stuff that is not with, you know, the quote-unquote unwritten rules, and Tim Anderson's the same way. And so I like those kind of players. So give me a Padres-White Sox World Series.
I'm all on board with that, too. I mean, obviously, as a Braves fan, I want the Braves to make the World Series. But taking the fan aspect out of it, Padres-White Sox would be great. I mean, I feel like I'm just a broken record talking about the young players on these two teams, how exciting they are. But that would be a very entertaining World Series. So would Padres-Yankees. The amount of power in those two lineups.
You have
the Yankees that are the most successful team in Major League history, and the Padres that have never won a World Series. The Yankees that are pretty much built on experience now with their lineup, and the Padres that have a ton of youth. Give me that matchup.
You could also talk about how Machado was like linked to the Yankees for like 3 years
yeah.
and ended up went to the Padres.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you ask me, I thought Manny Machado was going to the Yankees. And now I'm kind of glad they didn't, because then they were afford Gerrit Cole. Who here's the thing also, and we haven't talked about it because it's been crazy. Welcome back, Gerrit Cole. Like, welcome back, Gerrit Cole. He had a near no-hitter in a seven-game shutout against the Orioles, and then his next outing he throws a no-hitter through six. I mean, he's shutting down people now. He's looking like Gerrit Cole last year. And I think part of it was the dude didn't lose for a year. And, you're bound to have a bad start here and there. And I think he just had that stretch of two bad starts, and people got concerned. And Gerrit Cole was like, ha, watch. And he turned it on. And he looks like what the Yankees paid him for.
Yeah, he does.
And it's going to be interesting.
You know, it's not only good for the Yankees when he's pitching well, it's good for baseball, because when you have a guy that signs the largest pitching contract in Major League Baseball history, if he's not performing well, that's not good for the game. You have to have your best players, your top stars, actually play well. And so I was getting a little worried when Gerrit Cole had those rough couple of starts there. I was a little worried for the Yankees and for the game, because you can't have someone of his magnitude go out there on the mound and not pitch well each time, especially when they signed him for a decade. They've got to have him pitching well. And so it's good to see him back to his usual self. It's good for the Yankees, and it's good for baseball as a whole. Well, Trey, the Yankees got a great free agent pitcher signing over the offseason. The Braves, not so much. They brought in Cole Hamels, the veteran, former World Series champion with the Philadelphia Phillies. They brought him in on a one-year deal. He was injured at the beginning of the season, back in spring training. Then he was injured again during summer camp in July. He finally made his first start last week, and now he's injured again, and he's done for the season. So they bring Cole Hamels in on a one-year deal. It turns into a one-start contract, and he will no longer be with the Atlanta Braves. I'm sure they're not going to try to bring him back after this year. I mean, it's just a disaster for the Braves when you spend a lot of money on a pitcher of his caliber who ends up not living up to the hype. And no one expected him to be a big star and, you know, lead the rotation, but just to be consistent and be a part of the rotation, which he hasn't been. So that's a really, really disappointing contract for the Braves.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact you only got one start out of him kind of sucks. And this might be viewed as the last big opportunity for Cole Hamels in his career. I mean, I don't see him getting passed up anywhere, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's kind of like Dallas Keuchel a couple years ago, where he didn't get signed to when the Braves signed him just middle of the season. It'd be something like that as well. If I was the Braves, I would have gone after Keuchel, I think.
Yeah, I really wish they would have.
I think that was the move to make. But the White Sox did, and they look where they're at. And
yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I think the great part is that you can identify a weakness amongst, I think, every team in this postseason but one. And the one is the Dodgers. And so it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it really should be. Final week of the regular season coming up over the next couple of days.
And we made it. I think both of us had a lot of questions going in, and we talked about the beginning of the podcast. If we'd have a season, we did not treat Rob Manfred kindly.
No, we did not.
We still won't. This is an anti-Rob Manfred podcast. I think we've made that abundantly clear. but the players figured it out. Major League Baseball figured it out. And their only option was to keep going. And they figured it out, and they have a bubble. And I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work really well in the postseason. And I'm using the NHL, the the first problem in a bubble happened this week. And they've been going on since August. And it was in the WNBA, which is also playing on a high school campus. At the IMG Academy, not your average high school, but it's a high school campus. Let's put that in perspective. And they're about to finish their season. The first problem, like the NHL is in their final right now. The NBA is in their Eastern Conference Finals. And this is unfortunate, but the WNBA is not funded like Major League Baseball, the MLB, or the NHL even. And we're not here to get in an argument about that. But it's proven if you fund this the right way and you structure it right, the bubble's going to work. And so I am more confident. If you asked me beginning of season, like, would we have a postseason? I was like, I don't know. And I think we said all along it only work in a bubble. And I feel really confident now seeing the bubbles work in the NHL and in the NBA in particular. It's going to work. So, Matt, pretty exciting time to be a baseball fan, wouldn't you agree? As you're rocking today, you're rocking the World Series 2019 hat. So yeah. I like it.
Yeah, not even a fan of either of the teams that were in the World Series last year. It was a gift from my boss when I started at SiriusXM. But
hey, man,
yeah,
free stuff is great.
I'm ready for the postseason. It's going to be very exciting. I'm ready to see what the Braves do because they haven't done much in the playoffs the past couple of years. So I'm hoping they'll at least make it out of this first round, the best of three series. Although they are lined up to play the Cardinals if the season ended today, and that is of course a rematch of last year, which did not go well at all. But very excited for the playoffs. It's going to be a fun time, and you should stay right here at foulballarea.com for all your updates from the 2020 Major League Baseball postseason. We'll have, of course, the podcast out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Plus, you can check back for blog updates and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for constant updates of the 2020 MLB postseason. Final day of the regular season is this Sunday, September 27th. A lot of games on schedule over the next couple of days as we wind down the regular season. Yeah, I can't believe we made it here. It's exciting. Exciting times.
Thank you so much for listening.
It's exciting to have you back here, Trey, in Richmond. Yeah. Back here in person.
Thanks for everyone tuning in. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Follow us along on Twitter at FoulBallArea, at Trey Lyle, and Mackins21. Leave us a review. We might read them on air. I've seen those done on podcasts, so we could do that as well. But we got some ideas for what we want to do in the postseason. It should be fun, and love to hear from you. Give us your opinions. Tweet us if you got questions. We'd love to hear those as well. So thank you so much for listening, supporting us as we continue this endeavor, as now I'm unemployed. So this is my outlet for the time being.
Start hashtag get Trey some money. Get us a sponsor.
Yes, you can Venmo me at Trey Lyle.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. For Trey Lyle, I'm Matthew Atkins. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.